Today's scripture reading is from Exodus 15:22-26. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." This is the word of the Lord.
The story is told of this St. Patrick in the 5th century, and he was baptizing this king, King Angus. And during the baptism, they did the sprinkle baptism. St. Patrick leaned over to baptize King Angus, and his staff, it was kind of sharp, and it pierced and stabbed the king's foot. And he didn't realize it. But after the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked over and saw all this blood and realized what he has done. And he begged the king for forgiveness. But then he was puzzled. He said, "King, oh king, why did you suffer this pain in silence?" And the king replied, "I thought the pain was part of carrying the cross for Christ." And sometimes when we experience pain, we think it's suffering for Christ. Just now, Joanne has read for us Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to 26. And we are looking at this name, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. When Israelites were coming out of Egypt, and as they were approaching the Red Sea, they were caught between the Red Sea and the Egyptian coming after them. They were stuck in between. They couldn't go forward or go backward. But God performed a miracle by parting the Red Sea. And when the Egyptian tried to follow, God closed the walls of water and the Egyptian drowned. The soldiers, the army drowned. And the Israelites sang a high song. They sang, "God has become my salvation. This is my God and I will praise him." They were very high in their emotions. But then they cross and they come to the wilderness of Shur. And you can see that circle. And they, after 3 days, they come to the wilderness of Shur and they couldn't find any water. And when they eventually found water at Marah, the water was undrinkable. And what happened to all the praises that they have given to God, that God has delivered them? They've forgotten all that and they were angry. They were angry with Moses for leading them out and they were grumbling. And then Moses cried out to God, and the Lord showed Moses a tree, and Moses threw the tree into the water, and the water became sweet again. And God used this bitter water to teach the Israelites a lesson about his name. And let us look at this passage again. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decree, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptian, for I'm the Lord who heals you." Now, the bitter water could be that it was polluted. It's disease, it's bad. It's not that the Israelites were so picky that they find the water as distasteful and they don't want to drink it, but it was bad. And living in North America, sometimes we do not know, we forget that we have clean water when we turn on the tap. But you know, in the third world country, even when you brush your teeth, sometimes you have to use bottled water or else you get sick. And according to Global Water Sanitation and Hygiene, for short as WASH, close to 780 million people do not have access to clean water, and people do die annually from polluted water. And Max Licardo, he captured the Israelite coming of Egypt with this quote: "Their jubilation over liberation becomes frustration over dehydration. So at one time they were so jubilated over their liberation, but then they become frustrated because they have no water. God instructed that the Israelites, if they pay attention to God's command and decree, they will avoid all the diseases the Egyptians suffer, because God is the Lord who heals. The bitter water could be symbolic of the Israelites' heart. It could be symbolic of the Israelites' heart. They have just come out from Egypt. Their lives were very hard. Their lives were very bitter because they were slaves. They were in bondage. They were accustomed to that kind of living, but that was a habit formed within them. So when they were set free, whenever they face a problem, the old habits start coming back. When they face challenges, they revert back to their old lifestyle. They grumble, they complain, they were critical, they were bitter. Isn't that sometimes what we are like? Because we were once upon a time enslaved to sin. And when we become Christian, but sometimes our lives are like that. We are critical, we are bitter. But God says here, He wants to heal them, He wants to restore them, and He wants to make their lives sweet. The word Rapha is used over 70 times in the Old Testament, and it means to heal, to restore, to cure. And in another passage in 2 Kings 2, verse 19 to 22, we see God also doing healing of the water. This is in Elisha. Look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, Elisha said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went up to the spring and threw salt into it and saying, this is what the Lord say, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water remained pure to this day, according to the word Elisha had spoken. God heals the water when Elisha pours salt into it. And that doesn't make sense. It's actually a miracle. But healing here has the idea of making it productive again and not bringing it death. So healing has the idea of productive, not unproductive, life, not death. It restores, it cures, it repairs something to its original state. Mankind, we, human, we are trichotomy. We are spirit, soul, and body. All the three parts are greatly affected by the fall of man. The spirit within us, we die because we are separated from God. Our soul is corrupted by sin. And the physical body, we suffer in sicknesses, in pain, and death. However, God is restoring all the three of us, the three of mankind, restoring the spirit, the soul, and the body. All those three parts are in need of healing. And first of all, God wants to heal us spiritually. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it records the incurable condition of the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This is by far the most important of the three realms of healing. We are spiritually dead, separated from God after the fall of man. Jehovah Rapha provides redemption through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are inflicted with the disease of alienation, eternal separation from God. Without God, who is life, we die. One day, Jesus got up in the synagogue and he read from the book of Isaiah. He said, God has sent me, which is Jesus, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovering of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And that's found in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus wants to break every bondage of sin that we are in, including deep-seated addiction and sin pattern. While it is certainly true that Jesus healed a lot of people physically, He is more interested in healing our spiritual heart condition. And sometimes with heart, it's not just we are still in sin, but we could be a Christian and still very separated from God, like we are critical and bitterness, and that is what God wants to heal also. And we will pray later for, if we are in that condition, we'll pray for that. And the second thing that God wants to heal is the emotion. Psalms 147 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound. Jehovah Rapha heals emotional hurt and brokenhearted. The word broken means crush, burst, broken into pieces, smash. Emotional and mental illness or health are on the rise today and sometimes very hard to diagnose. There's still a stigma with emotional health and mental health, but emotional health can be overwhelming and incredibly heartbreaking. And sometimes we do not know what causes it. Is it nurture? Is it nature? But Jehovah Rapha can heal a horrific memory, a betrayal, abuse, depression, anxiety, a broken heart, grief, and pain. One time when we were in Florida, this person called us long distance from Singapore. We left the country already. And he was from our life group. And he called us long distance to ask us to pray for him because he was going through depression and he had a very strained relationship with his dad. And we prayed for him, and I remember after hanging up, I say to God, praying for emotional and mental health issue is harder than praying for physical healing. Why did I say that? As much as God wants to heal the mental and emotional health, because mental and emotional health is more complex. There are more layers to uncover. His family situation is complicated, and they probably need some counseling and reconciliation. And so, not just praying for his healing, but we need to pray for the whole family. But praise the Lord. 4 years ago when I went to visit, this person is doing very well. He's married and he's still in the church and he's serving and he's growing. So God did heal him of all the emotional pain that he was experiencing. But sometimes, Pete Scazzaro said, sometimes Christian, we go through a period called dark night of the soul. We are numb to the pain that is within us. We are not excited about God. We are not excited about worship. We are not excited about scripture. And God wants to heal also that kind of pain that we are going through. God is a healer of estranged relationship or our relationship with Him. The last healing that God wants to do is physical. And Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 says, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought him peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. This is an excellent passage to talk about healing for the whole body. He was punished by God, that brought us spiritual healing. He was crushed for iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our physical and emotional healing. Psalms 103 verse 2 and 4 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgive all your sin and heal all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crown you with love and compassion. There are a lot of Bible passages that talk about physical healing. Jeremiah 17, verse 14 says, heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. Matthew 9, verse 35 says, Jesus went through all the town and villages, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the good news of kingdom and healing every disease and sicknesses. James 5 verse 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Healing was always part of Jesus' ministry. Jesus healed people physically. He also healed them spiritually by forgiving their sin. Jesus proved himself to be Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. Jesus' name, the one who saves, salvation means healing. It means completion. He saves us from sin. Salvation means redeem, wholeness. God is always interested in restoring human completely, not just your physical, but your emotion, your spiritual. But there are still a lot of sicknesses and death among believers today, isn't it? Because the kingdom of God is fully redeemed and not yet fully in place. The kingdom of God is both now and not yet. A good illustration to point out this is during the Second World War, Canada, US, and England stormed the beach in Normandy and won the battle against the Nazi on June 6, 1944. That day was called D-Day or Decision Day. It was the beginning of the Second World War. But interestingly, the Nazis continued to fight because they refused to surrender. And they continued to fight for 11 more months until May 8, 1945. And that day is called VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, when the Nazis completely to surrender and given back all the POWs and all the land that they conquer. And we Christians, we are like that. We are living like in the 11 months where the kingdom of God is here and still not yet fully restored. When Christ comes back in his second coming, he will fully restore all things. Until then, we wait for it. But we are also experiencing some of the privileges, a glimpse of heaven when we receive healing. When Christ comes back again the second time, the very presence of sin and all its consequences will be conquered and destroyed. There are some ways that God healed today, through medicine and sciences. And this is not divine healing, but God provided this healing because God given man the intelligence, the responsibility to be in charge of the earth. So therefore, the capacity to invent medication. And sometimes we also receive healing through the Holy Communion and through the anointing of oil. And the last one, of course, is through the spiritual gift of healing and miracles. And this is the divine healing. Now notice that God grants believers this gift and it's based on grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not on work. Now we have established that God heals today and Jesus' name meant salvation and wholeness. But there are still a lot of people not healed. Why are some people not healed? It could be the wrong diagnosis of the problem. Sometimes it's important to go to the root of the problem. The problem could be related to emotional experiences, and that needs to be restored, to be counseled. It could be due to diet, to lifestyle, and it could be due to demonic activity, and that had to be set free first. And sometimes some people are not healed because they limit God to one method. The person is praying for certain thing and God is choosing to heal in another way. And it could be due to prejudice and pride. The person refused to ask for healing. And it could be due to the person is holding on to some sin and God couldn't heal because the person is still sinning. Or it could be due to the person has a desire to stay ill because they could have more compassion from people and more attention from people. Or it could be due to the person is not seeking healing as a gradual process because God do heal progressively. Sometimes healing is gradual. It's not immediate. And it's through continuous prayer, continual inner healing, and that has to be taken place first. And healing is could be because it's not God's immediate purpose, immediate will. God wants to use the healing for a higher purpose, to get our attention, to say that his grace is sufficient for us, to remind us that we are human, we are mortal. And he will continue to provide us with strength and comfort, but he didn't heal us. And sometimes healing is not there in place because it's a sickness unto death. But God will always choose the sickness to glorify him. God may not choose the healing, but the person will receive relief of pain and relief of discomfort and will die peacefully in the arms of Jesus. Well, sometimes people are not healed because they pray and they are not healed. So they say, oh, God is not healing. So they are not patient to wait upon the Lord. When we take medication, we do not just take one dose and say, oh, I'm healed. You know, we continue to take the medication. And so it is with healing. We continue to pray for healing. And lastly, sometimes we cannot receive healing because we do not believe that God has the power to heal. And when Jesus healed, he always say, what is your faith like? We need faith to be healed. And let us look at some of the passages. Matthew 9, verse 22, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Matthew 9, verse 29, Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it can be done to you. Matthew 13, verse 58 say, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Matthew 15, verse 28, Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Mark 10, verse 52, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Mark 11, verse 22 to 24, have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believe what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for prayer, believe you have received it, it shall be yours. All these passages emphasize the role faith plays in healing. Jesus always asks the people that come to him not to doubt, not to hesitate, but have faith. Faith is not just faith. It's not, you know, by your wounds you have been healed. Some evangelists quote that. We must remember that sickness is the result of the fall of man, the consequences of sin, the curse associated with the fall. Divine healing reverses the order of the curse. Though healing is available through the atonement of Christ and faith in Christ, healing is also a free grace of God, not works, without respect of person. We receive our salvation by faith through grace. We also receive healing through faith, not works. When I was, I had three pregnancies, but I have two kids. When I was first pregnant with my first pregnancy, I started bleeding at 10 weeks. And I prayed very fervently. I prayed. I had like so much faith, you know. I even asked my aunt, who is a pastor, to pray for me, and she was praying for me. And I was believing that I'll be healed. But 10 weeks later, I lost my child. I lost the pregnancy, and I was angry with God. I couldn't reconcile faith and healing and all that. I was learning. And after that, God told me, stop telling me what to do. And I realized that I thought in my faith, I was telling God what to do. I wasn't having faith in him. I was having faith in my own faith. And 6 months later, I was pregnant again. At 22 weeks, which is about 5 months, I start contraction. And my contraction was like very severe. It was like going to give birth. And I went to the hospital 3 times. The first 2 times, they gave me a jab and gave me some oral medication. They sent me home. But it couldn't stop the contraction. I couldn't lie down. I couldn't sleep. And by the third contraction, by the third time, I went back and they hospitalized me. And they realized I'm having a lot of preterm labor, of course. And they put me on a medication magnesium sulfate to relax my muscle. But then it did manage to reduce a bit of my contraction, but it developed complication. I started having pneumonia. Water went into my lung. I was considered a star patient because I had so much complication. Usually people that were twins, they had twins, they had this magnesium sulfate and they were fine. But I react very badly to the medication they gave me. I had fever, I had pneumonia. They did an x-ray on me while I was still pregnant and they had to take me off this medication. And they gave me a medication that's not approved by FDA, but I was allowed to go home because George has to inject me on my thigh, the catheter and the needle, pull out the needle and the catheter remain on my thigh, and the medication is connected to a tube and it's connected to a syringe and I wear it with me 24/7. God did intervene with this pregnancy but it's through medication. And it was a very good service because every week there was DHL, my medication, and I received my medication through DHL and I could, George had to change the site every 5 days. But I was bed rest, heavily medicated, but I carry Uriel to 36 weeks. And I thought, no way I'm going to be pregnant again because the doctor did say, if you have the next pregnancy, it will be more complicated. Your contraction will start earlier because you have this uterus that is called irritable uterus. Your uterus, your womb, thinks that it's a foreign object in your body and it tries to expel it out. But when one day, God showed me this verse. God asked me, do I have faith? I say, God, I have mustard seed faith, small faith. And God said, if you have faith, you can say to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it shall be removed. I said, wow, God, I don't have that faith. Increase my faith, Lord. And a few days later, I found out I was pregnant. But because God showed me this verse, I began to have faith in him. My faith was not based on my faith on myself, but my faith was based on his word, his rhema word, the word that he spoke to me. And I believe. And amazingly, I carry Galatia to 37 weeks without bedridden, without medication, because God intervened. So when we ask for healing, I always ask people, what is God speaking to you in your situation? Divine healing takes place. Faith is needed. However, faith is rested in God. It's not based on our faith, in our own faith. We need to be absolutely assured that God can answer our prayer, whether we see the results or not. To be physically, emotionally, or spiritually restored is not the main objective, but a person needs to pray for his relationship with God and total submission to God's power, faithfulness, wisdom, and goodness. We need to seek to be in the presence of the great physician, not seek just the healing process. We need to ask and seek to be in the presence of the healer, believe, but release the results to him. Even when I was preparing this message, suddenly I have a migraine headache. It's like the enemy was attacking me. There is no formula for divine healing. It's still the sovereignty of God. But I always say, you need to ask. You need to seek. And you will find. Because God is able. God is willing. How is your faith? Is God saying to you, do you have faith? Do you have a mustard seed faith? If you do, even that faith can say to the mountain and it can be cast into the sea. Because this is the word of God. I'm going to invite the worship team up to play, but I'm going to ask anyone here, if you need healing spiritually, if you have a bitter spirit, a critical spirit, or you do not have a relationship with Christ, we're going to pray for you. And you can come forward. I've asked Reverend Edwin, I've asked Pastor Sam to come out. We have oil to anoint you. If you need healing for emotion, you're suffering with depression or anxiety or abuse or any bad relationship, and you have all this issue, God wants to heal you. And if you're also in need of healing physically, body parts, anywhere, cancer, small items, God is able to heal you.